This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb. And tonight's guest, Congresswoman Martha W. Griffiths of Michigan. Tonight's subject, can a woman be a politician? You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, Night People. This is Gibb. Tonight we start a new series on Night Call on the American woman. Our basic question is, can an American woman be a woman today? Standing by in Detroit, Michigan, is Democratic Congresswoman Martha Griffiths. Now, she's a member of the powerful Ways and Means Committee in the U.S. House of Representatives and is the only woman member of the Joint Senate and House Economic Committee. If you'd like to ask the Congresswoman a question on tonight's topic, can a woman be a politician, or make a comment, give us a call here at Night Call. Now, our national number is area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, you may call from anywhere collect. You may reverse the charges. Area code 313-846-6601. Now please make that call station to station. Our Night Call operators are on duty. Our Night Call lines are open, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. Our topic tonight, can a woman be a politician? Our Night Call number again, area code 313-846-6601. Mrs. Griffiths, are you discriminated against in Congress because you're a woman?
No, not at all. It's my theory, of course, that all you have to do is to get yourself elected. The rules require that they put you on a committee. And then all you have to do is keep getting elected.
Now, you make that sound very simple.
And outlive everyone who precedes you. And you will be the chairman of the committee, and in Congress, that is power.
Well, so now, do you find it harder to be a politician because you are a woman?
I think because I am a woman, maybe I work harder at it. And I think that's true of any woman who is a politician. I think she's so worried for fear that she will not do her share, that in general, she probably does more than her share.
Well, do you find that men have slight resentment against the fact that here they're represented by a woman?
No, I've never found that true. In fact, men have helped me greatly. When I first began the campaign for Congress, I had a trailer hitched to my car. It was 40 feet long, and I drove it through Detroit traffic, stopped it in a block, and I had four girls with me, and they knocked on every door and asked people to come out. One of the interesting things to me was that sometimes men were at home, and they would always come out.
They were always polite then?
Oh, yes, they were. But, well, and they would look.
What about if they disagree with you politically? How do they handle this situation?
You don't have too much trouble with that either. In the first place, they are not accustomed to arguing with a woman politically. And the result is, I feel that in many cases, a woman really gets the best end of the deal. I think this is true. I found this true when I tried cases in court. Men were not accustomed to a woman lawyer. So I never felt that I was really at a disadvantage. If they weren't careful, they were trying me in place of the case.
Do you think men have a stereotype of women in politics?
Well, sometimes I think this is true. Last week I was introduced at a meeting, and the man who introduced me said, "I am just amazed. I assumed that a congresswoman would weigh 185 pounds. Well, of course, if that is their picture of a woman politician, then they won't find her in Congress. There aren't any women like that in Congress. So that maybe they do, but I've never found it any disadvantage.
Well, we tend to think of congressmen doing a lot of their work in smoke-filled rooms, quote-unquote. Are you invited into this type of political situation?
Well, of course, the work of Congress is really done in committees. And as a woman, I sit on a committee, as all the other women members do, and I am sure that each of us adds something to that committee.
What is that something that a woman can bring to Congress?
Well, I think one of the things that you add is the point of view. Each person who comes into the Congress brings a different point of view. His view of life is really different. Now, I think one of the things on my own committee, which is Ways and Means, which deals with Social Security, this year we reformed the Social Security law. We added Medicare and a few other things to it. I looked down at that law, and I realized that a woman who drew as a wife on Social Security drew half of her husband's allotment while he lived. And then she drew a larger amount after he had passed away. It would be possible for a man who paid on the top base of $4,800 in Social Security to draw $126. His wife would draw $6,250. And when he had passed away, the wife would draw $105. But if a man and woman both worked and each paid on $2,400, each one of them would draw $84.
In other words, there was a discrimination going on.
Indeed, there was a discrimination. And I thought it was quite unfair. I tried to offer an amendment that would make it possible for the second man and wife to draw as much as the first because they had paid the same amount of money. But it would cost 1 8/10 billions of dollars annually to do that. Now, that means that the woman who works is really subsidizing that Social Security program.
And not getting
the full
benefit.
And not getting her fair share back out of it.
Well, now, why is this? Why did we set up
the law
this way?
Well, I think the reason for this is because men drew the Social Security law. And originally, in the 1930s, there was only one worker per family. They have ignored the fact, as the years have passed, that in almost every family today, both members work. Almost every woman works at some time in her life. And the law should be drawn now to correct this system. But if you don't have a woman sitting there reminding people, I think they won't correct it.
Well, now, what about the wives of congressmen? Don't they influence the congressmen?
Well, of course, they don't realize that law is drafted like that either. Because they are going to draw as a wife who has not worked for pay, but where the wife has worked for money, she understands that she, as a widow, will draw either the amount that she earned in her own right or the amount she would have drawn as her husband's widow, but not both of them. And in many instances, she's drawing less than if she had never worked at all.
Well, now, what do you intend to do about this?
Well, I intend to correct it.
Well, can you if the majority of men are...
Because they are logical. It never occurred to them that they were actually permitting such a discrimination against women. And I think they will correct it.
Well, Mrs. Griffiths, how many congresswomen are there?
There are 10 members in the House now and 2 members in the Senate.
Out of a total membership?
535. 435 members in the House and 100 senators.
You're really quite a minority.
Yes, we are.
Well, now, why is this? Why?
Well,
why?
One of the reasons, I think, is because it takes a long time to become a member of Congress. You have to work very hard, and you have to leave your home. Now, a lot of wives are not in the position to do that. Many of the women in Congress who have been in Congress have been widows. It just happens that my husband has been very helpful to me. He was the person who wanted me to run for the office. And he's always helped me. And he is willing for me to go every Sunday night or every Monday morning down to Washington and come back home to Detroit on Thursday night or Friday night.
So actually you commute.
That's right. But not every husband's willing to do that. But that's one of the reasons that women aren't congressmen, because it's such a tremendous burden upon the marriage, and it is a very tedious job.
Our guest tonight is Congresswoman Martha Griffiths from Michigan, Democratic Congresswoman. And if you'd like to join us here on Night Call, our topic is, can a woman be a politician? Our Night Call number is area code 313-846-6601. You may dial us direct, and if you wish, you may make the call collect. You may reverse the charges. That's area code 313-846-6601. And, Congresswoman, we now have a call from Baltimore, Maryland, a listener in Baltimore on WBAL, Mr. Richard Evans. Good evening, Dick. Speak right up, sir. You're on Night Call.
Good evening to you, Russ.
Hello. How are you tonight?
Just fine, thank you.
Your comment, please.
Here again with you.
Okay.
Good evening, Congresswoman.
Good evening, Mr. Evans.
First of all, I'd like to render you a good-sized hooray for your position in the United States House of Representatives.
Thank you.
And not being disrespectful or anything, I would like to ask you the question of whether you think the woman's place is still in the home, and if not, how do you personally seem to manage between your duties in Washington and your home life?
Well, I've just been explaining that. Perhaps you were calling.
Yes, I did.
My husband is the person who wanted me to go into politics.
I see. Well, that's fine.
Now, I would say that, and I insist, that unless you have such a happy situation, or unless the woman is a widow, or has never married, it would be indeed difficult for her to be a member of Congress. She has to have a husband who is a partner in it, and my husband happens to be that kind of husband.
I see. Let me ask you something about your law practice. Did you have a fairly successful law practice prior to going into politics?
Reasonably, but I didn't try cases over a long period of time because I, privately, because I did go into politics right away. I sat in the state legislature,
yes.
And I sat as a judge in Michigan.
Yes. What, incidentally, what law school did you graduate from?
University of Michigan.
I see. Very reputable.
Indeed it is.
Yes.
Dick, what do you think about this idea? I detect a slight feeling that maybe you don't believe that women should be in politics.
Oh, I think he thinks we should.
Well, I think so, too. Frankly, if she can handle it by balancing the scales, so to speak, between her home life and her obligation towards interest of the public, what I was mainly thinking of in terms of this question was whether it can actually be done in the specific image of the woman in general.
No, you'll have to give me that one again, Dick.
Well, let's face it, for years and years and years, and even to the time of, you know, Dorothea Dix and the women equality, let's face it, the woman's position was in the home. And I was wondering if possibly this has really come up to an extent. Let's face it, there's only 10, did you say 10?
Yes.
10 women in the both houses represented. Could this possibly be the overall trend of the country now?
No. Let me tell you, when I first went to Congress that year, for the first time, 4 women went into Congress. This was the most that had ever gone at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And the man who was sitting next to me the first day took one horrified look and said, my heavens, I don't think there'll be any time until half of this Congress will be women. So I asked the Library of Congress to figure it out. And they said that at the present rate of increase, it would be something like 250 years before half of Congress was women. But since we were up at one point to 20 members, and then we went back down again. But I think that you have a vision, really a proper vision, that a woman in the past has stayed at home all day and that her husband came home at night or came in from the fields and that she was there to meet him. Now, that vision really is gone. For instance, I have been home for 2 weeks. In that 2 weeks, I think my husband has been home to dinner 3 nights. The answer is that most successful men are working very hard themselves. They don't come home.
But isn't this...
Dick, it's time to break the station. I'm going to ask that you just hang on for a minute, please.
Our guest tonight is Congresswoman Martha Griffiths from Michigan. Our topic, Can a Woman Be a Politician? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday, I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People. Our guest tonight is Congresswoman Martha Griffiths from Michigan. She's a Democrat, and our topic, Can a Woman Be a Politician? If you'd like to join us here on Night Call, our lines are open, and we invite you to give us a buzz. It's very simple to call us. Just pick up the old telephone and dial area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may call from anywhere collect. Please make that call station to station. The number, area code 313-846-6601. Our topic again, can a woman be a politician? What do you think about the idea of women in politics? Do you think they have a right to be in politics, or should they maybe be staying at home and mending the socks and taking care of the kids? Or has the role of the American woman really changed today? Well, let's hear what you're thinking about on Night Call. Our lines are open, and if you get a busy signal, don't become discouraged. Just hang up and dial again. Area code 313-846-6601. We have on the line now a caller from Baltimore, Maryland, a gentleman we were talking to just a minute ago, Mr. Richard Evans, and he's listening on WBAL. And Dick, you had another question for the Congresswoman.
What I was thinking of, possibly, isn't this situation where we have women involved not only in politics but in business life, doesn't this bring in some type of splitting towards heterogeneity rather than homogeneity.
Oh, boy, now, there's some big words. Dick, well, what do you mean by those
diversification,
words?
Diversification. Mrs. Griffiths had just stated that her, you know, she only saw her husband three times in the last 2 weeks at home for dinner. Now, isn't the splitting the family life and splitting the home... Someone.
Well, of course, modern life has done this on its own. This is the world today. This is what has happened in every in many situations, not in every situation, but in a very great many situations, so that a woman is left because she has a well-set-up home with a great deal of time on her hands. Now, the real question in my mind is, should she use the mind that she has and the energy that she has up on something trivial, up on playing bridge, or should she do something in the world? In our home, we decided that I should do something in the world.
Well, has she become less feminine then?
No, I think not.
Well, Mr. Evans, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Yes, Russ.
Mr. Dick Evans from Baltimore, Maryland, a listener on WBAL. Our guest tonight, Congresswoman Martha Griffiths from Michigan. Our topic, can a woman be a politician? Our number, area code 313-846-6601. Mrs. Griffith, why did you decide to go into politics?
Well, I was invited in. I was asked originally by another woman lawyer. She was an older woman than I, and she asked me to run for the state legislature. I didn't think that would be possible for me to do that. And finally, in desperation, I said that I'm not even of your party. And she said, well, nevertheless, I would support you. So I still said no. And then my husband, when he found out what I had been asked, said to me, well, did you tell her you would run? And I said, no, I told her I wouldn't. And he said, well, you call her right back and tell her you're running.
So do you have a family? Do you have children?
No, we have no children.
Now, what do you think if a woman has obligations in the home, such as children? Do you think that she should run for Congress?
Well, I think in some cases that would be impossible, although there are three women now in Congress who have children. Mrs. May of Washington has children. They were fairly young when she first came to Congress. Mrs. Meek of Hawaii has a little 12-year-old girl. But both Mr. Meek and the little girl came from Hawaii, and they are now making their home in Washington. Her husband is a scientist. Mrs. Bolton of Ohio was a widow when she came to Congress, but her son also was in Congress. So I don't think you can make a hard and fast rule that a woman couldn't be in Congress with children, because some of them have successfully done it. And I know women in politics locally who had good-sized families and managed that quite successfully at a local level.
Have you ever had a man say, why don't you stay home and mind the kids?
No, I've never had anyone say that to me.
Do the gals in Congress get together informally?
Yes, they do. They are really quite fond of each other. We have a great feeling for each other, and we get along very well indeed.
Are they representative of both political parties?
Yes, and both all of us get together quite frequently, and we have good friends among the group.
Well, now, why aren't more women involved in politics, do you feel?
Well, in the first place, it's a pretty tough world.
What do you mean by tough?
Well, it is very competitive to begin with. Secondly, I think that you have unusual difficulties with it for a woman because she has been accustomed to being protected. And when she arrives in politics, not only is she not protected, but people may tell things that are really quite untrue. And I think for many women, this is quite a surprise. In addition to this, I think that in both political parties, there is a great deal of fussing within the organization and schisms within it. And I think that women dislike getting involved in those schisms and in those unpleasantness. Now, I haven't been involved in too much of that myself, but I realize that it would be rather difficult if you were involved, and I think it has caused many women not to enter politics.
What about cost? Is this a...
Of course, that is a very bad feature of running for a national office, or any statewide office, or any other office for that matter. I noticed that Senator Maureen Neuberger has announced her retirement from the Senate, and this is one of the reasons that she gave.
It was too much work, in other words.
It cost too much to run. She did not want to feel that she had to be kinder to some than to others because of the campaign expenses involved. So that, and for a senator, it is quite an expense to run a statewide campaign.
Mrs. Griffiths, do you feel that there's a built-in bias against women in American society?
Yes, I think there is in almost all modern societies.
Well, now, why is this? What is it?
Well, part of the reason is because, of course, she has always been at home. Only recently has she come into society at an economic level, competitively. When America was an urban society, she stayed at home, she tended the garden, She tended the chickens and milked the cows and so forth. And, of course, she was contributing economically right then. But she wasn't as aware of it. Now, when she goes out economically and goes to work and draws wages, then people try to put her into one place and say, now you can have this type of job and nothing else. And the worst offender in the world has been the federal government. They actually had a statute that said that the executive asking for an employee could say whether he wanted a man or a woman. And they had a determination in 1934 by the Attorney General that the president could not override that statute. Now, of course, it's now been repealed.
Congresswoman, I have a caller now in Denver, Colorado. A listener on KTLN, a Mr. Jack Dunlap. Good evening, Mr. Dunlap. Speak right up, sir. You're on Night Call.
Yes, thank you very much. Congresswoman Griffin?
Yes.
Would you, first of all, tell me, how long have you been in Congress?
11 years.
Well, I heard you speaking earlier that there were very few women right now in it.
Yes.
Why are there so few women in the legal profession and in the executive branch of government?
The reason that there are so few women in the executive branch of the government is because they have the men who have been running it have simply refused to permit women to come into it. 25% of all the people in the executive branch are women, but only 2% of those women hold, only 2% of all of the top executive positions are held by women. In general, women hold the clerical positions. Now, one of the reasons I think that women haven't gone into the elective offices is because it's a long, hard grind. It takes you away from your home. You have to have a very sympathetic husband or no family at all. And you need money to finance a campaign.
Can I interrupt here a minute?
Sure.
Isn't it true that the majority of wealth, though, in the United States is controlled by women?
Yes, but that's in theory only. In general, that is because they have been left money in estates and their husbands have provided for them. It is doubtful that they actually have, in many cases, the control of the money. They sign their names, but it's not necessarily true that they control it.
Do you think that there are more women that go to college nowadays studying more legal professions, like more girls going into the lawyers and legal things like that now than there used to be?
I think that that is not so. I think it got up to a high during the war, and I believe that it sort of dropped off recently. Although, in the last 2 years, I think the percentage of women in the professions has gone up slightly. The women studying in the professional fields.
Mr. Dunlap, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Jack Dunlap from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN. Mr. Griffith, Jack got upon a topic there about women not going into the professions today. This is sort of frightening, isn't it? If women are to ever gain added stature in the United States, they're going to have to go into the professions.
Yes, they need to go into the professions. Not only do they need to go into them, but they need to use that professional ability afterwards. At least during the time that I attended the University of Michigan Law School, I remember that there were very few women in the medical school. And at that particular time, I think they objected to letting them into the medical school for fear that they wouldn't practice afterwards. Now, in truth, I've known quite a few doctors since I got out, people who were trained as doctors, who never actually practiced as doctors. So that this isn't really a fair thing to hold against women. There's more effort, though, at the present time, being made to train women or to retrain them after they have reached their 40s and after their children are in school. Almost every university in the country is now making special efforts to reach out to get those women and train them. Because really, we need that trained woman power. We need the ability that women have, and we need to put it to work.
Our guest tonight is Congresswoman Martha Griffiths from Michigan. Our topic, Can a Woman Be a Politician? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Look, I'm quite self-sufficient. I made myself what I am, thank you.
But don't you think all of us occasionally could use a little divine or...
Gee, I gotta run. Here's my card, anyhow. I'm a vice president now.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed.
But your name, it's just penciled in here.
Well, there's a big turnover in personnel. You know how it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just about how it is in life, isn't it?
Pardon?
We're all just penciled in.
Where you get the idea you can make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your
proceeding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Our guest tonight, Congresswoman Martha Griffiths from Washington. Well, she's in Washington. She's actually from Michigan. And she's a member of the Ways and Means Committee in the U.S. House of Representatives and is the only woman member of the Joint Senate and House Economic Committee, which is a very powerful committee in Congress. If you'd like to ask the Congresswoman a question tonight on our topic, can a woman be a politician, or make a comment as to how you feel about women in politics, give us a call here at Night Call. Now, it's very easy to call us. Just pick up the telephone and dial area code 313-846-6601, and you'll be able to express your opinion across the country. Now, just dial us direct, and if you wish, you may make that call collect. You may reverse the charges. Our Night Call national number, area code 313-846-6601. And Congresswoman Griffiths, we now have a caller in Denver, Colorado, a lady that's listening on KTLN, Mrs. B. Hofdahl. Good evening, Mrs. Hofdahl. Speak right up. You're on Night Call.
Thank you. I so appreciate the program, and I do want to thank the Congresslady for being on and giving us a chance to talk to her.
How kind you wonderful. How sweet you are.
And I would like to ask, I'm very interested in this bill that was presented, I think, by Representative Everett Burkhalter from California last year about retiring the congressman over 70. Has anything been done on that at all? Or will
nothing has
done?
Yet been done. This will probably come in the reorganization plan. I am sure that there are a good many people who think that this would probably be a very good idea. And now, on the other hand, you have some objectors to it. Nevertheless, if American industry can retire people, I think that it is only fair that Congress itself set a retirement date.
Well, yes, I think so, too. In business, they retire them at 65.
That's right.
And I think after someone has been there 20 or 25 years, that is enough.
And in fact, if they are not retired, you are really discriminating against the younger people coming up.
True.
I certainly do appreciate your calling and saying that.
I feel so strongly about this. We were honored the other day to have our Congressman McVicker. Do you know him?
Yes, I certainly do.
He spoke to us for 3 hours on the radio, and I so appreciated it, although I never did get to talk to him. He had 40 calls waiting when the 3 hours were over.
He is a wonderful young man.
But I think it's so wonderful when you folks do this sort of thing and let us talk to you and ask you questions.
Thank you very much.
And I certainly do thank you.
Mrs.
By the way,
yes, go ahead.
You know, anything, has anything been mentioned about aid to crime victims? I'm very interested in this.
There is something off in the wings, I think, on the theory that we will contemplate a bill which would give aid to crime victims. Yes.
I noticed in the paper that
yes.
James B. Bennett, the former head of the U.S. Bureau of Prisons,
yes.
Had mentioned something about
it. Suggested it, but it hasn't come yet from the administration.
Well, I certainly do. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Mrs. Hofdahl. This is B. Hofdahl, a lady in Denver, Colorado. This is on KTLM. Now, excuse me here just a moment. We got our papers mixed up here a little bit. We were talking a little bit earlier, Congresswoman, about the idea that women do not enter the professions today as they once were, even though we have more women in America. Now, what is the fear of women? Why do they fear getting into politics? Why do they fear becoming lawyers? Is it because they feel they might lose their femininity?
No, I don't think that that is really the answer to it. I think one of the things that has happened is that the marriage age has been moving downward. And, of course, if you're going to be trained in a profession, it takes long years of effort. A law degree requires an AB and then 3 years for the law degree. And a medical degree, of course, requires more work. This in itself is a deterrent. But enough money is now being made available from loans and scholarships from the federal government that more effort will be made to reach the bright young women who would like to go on to school, who have the energy to do it, so that they can go on. Now, of course, once they're out of school, the problem of getting into any profession is, again, comes across the situation that she may marry, the girl may marry, she may have young children. And she will delay her entry into the professional world. More of them are now going back into professional life after they have reached their 40s, so that they're freshening their education again.
Mrs. Griffith, we have a caller in Baltimore, Maryland, a listener on WBAL, Mr. Gene Zeltman, and he's a student at Johns Hopkins University. Hello, Gene. Speak right up. You're on night call, sir.
Very fine. Thank you, sir. It's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And I'd like to ask you, in fact, I'd like to ask the Congresswoman, if I may, a question pertaining to the difficulties she may have in dealing what we were talking about earlier in the evening with our male-oriented society, especially on Capitol Hill now. It strikes me that in the back door or backroom talk and chatter that would go on the Hill, it seems to me that you would be presented with difficulties in getting your bills across, getting your points across, with gentlemen who may, in fact, resent the fact that you are a woman. I'm wondering how you try to go about solving
that. Well, I've never had any problem with this. Mm-hmm. I am on the Ways and Means Committee, and that particular committee has to be elected by the members on the Democratic side.
I see.
So that I never had any problem in getting anybody's attention, and there never seemed to be anybody who really resented having me there. This never was a problem. And politics is not quite as filled with back rooms and smoke-filled back rooms as I think the American public is led to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that, in general, bills are aired in the open and the amendments are added in the open, and it all works out pretty fairly.
May I ask this question? You folks haven't talked about this evening, but could we talk about some of the types of problems that you face in getting some of the things done for your constituents? What types of things are you interested in particular? Not on a national level now, but just for general.
Oh, you mean what kind of things are my constituents interested
in? Well,
what
types of things are do you have to do on a local level for your constituents?
I would be glad to talk about it because I think that is very interesting. One of the things that I have coming most frequently into my office are the requests of students for materials pertaining to the government. Now, I think this is a very interesting thing to give to them because I think that they should feel that they have a right to express their opinions and to approach a congressman. If government doesn't work that way, then our government is wrong. So we always answer these requests. Then we have requests of people who want special immigration bills to bring in a member of their family, or who would like special visas for some member of their family to come out of Europe or South America. We have requests of boys who want into the service, boys who want out of the service, boys who want transferred in the service. Occasionally, we have requests from people who would like work. Many times, we have requests from people who want Social Security.
May I ask, ma'am, if you're able to do much about those requests for people who want work?
Well, some of them we are.
I see.
We are for a good many of these requests. So that it's this part of it is purely local.
Mm-hmm.
I had a morning in my office last Friday morning, and 25 people came in within a period of about 2 hours to see me on individual problems.
Mm-hmm. May I ask this question with regards to when you're actually out on the campaign trail and working to become reelected? Do you find, or is it your opinion that you may be at an advantage that you're a woman in this respect?
Well, I've always felt there was some advantage to it because I campaigned, as I said before on the program, from a trailer.
Uh-huh.
And I invited women out to that trailer. Now, many of those women came right out of their kitchen. Some of them got off from scrubbing their floors, and they weren't a bit embarrassed to come out to see another woman. I always thought maybe they would have been a little bit embarrassed if I had been a man. They might have wanted to stay and have put on their best dress.
Uh-huh.
So it worked out very well for me.
Do you find that you do much in the way of speaking back in the district
in
group meetings, or do you do go in for the, when you're campaigning, do you go in more for these coffee-type meetings?
I do the coffee-type meetings, generally. But this year, I will be making many speeches in my district.
I want to thank you both very much for the opportunity to speak this evening. I appreciate it very, very much.
Gene, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir, certainly.
Do you feel that women should be in politics?
Absolutely, sir. I feel that way strongly. In fact, I was interested in what you were saying and what the congresswoman was saying before about women being in the home. And it strikes me, now this may just be, and I hasten to add, this just may very well be male prejudice, but it strikes me that girls, I'm a student at Hopkins, and I'm always so pleased to see girls going on to graduate school and getting a master's degree or a PhD degree. It seems to me that they do not take the advantages offered to them. And it strikes me sometimes in our society, our marriage-oriented society, it seems to me sometimes that girls just don't take the advantages that are given to them. And so I'm very happy to see people take these advantages.
Well, why is it? Why is it that...
I haven't got the faintest idea, sir. As I say, it may very... Now, this may be unfair to the girls involved, but it seems to me it may very well be that this is a marriage-oriented society, and after 22 or 23 years, they haven't gotten themselves a fellow. They're worried about it. But it seems to me this is the best time of your life to be learning things and to be going out and doing things and perhaps getting a better education so you can do such things as the congresswoman is doing.
Well, Gene, in about 2 weeks, I have a gal, a professor at Vassar. I can't think of her name right now, but she has a theory that this is a marriage-orientated society, and she's going to be on my call, and we're going to be discussing this idea. Do we force people to get married in American society? So you want to tune in and get her opinion that night.
And that is within 2 weeks, sir?
Approximately 2 weeks.
I think
you'll have to check with your local station or just keep listening,
keep
and we'll be announcing.
I'll try to call you that evening.
Thank you very much for calling.
Okay,
Mr. Gene Zeltman from Baltimore, bye-bye. Maryland, the listener on WBAL.
Well, if we have nice young men like him, surely we're going to have a better world.
Well, I think we have a lot of people who are real considerate and people who are thinking on Night Call. And we'd like to invite those of you that are listening to give us a buzz here at Night Call. Here's your chance to talk to a congresswoman and express your opinion. What do you think about this idea of women in politics? Our Night Call number is area code 313-846-6601. And remember, you may call us collect. You may reverse the charges.
Our guest tonight, Congresswoman Martha Griffiths from Michigan. Our topic, can a woman be a politician? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Busy America. Busy America. Busy making money. Busy buying gadgets. Busy keeping up with you know who.
Is that your idea of fulfillment? Don't you wonder if there's more to life than just that rat race with no finish line?
Where do you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, gentle people. Our guest tonight, Congresswoman Martha Griffiths from Michigan, and she's a member of the House of Representatives and also a member of the powerful Ways and Means Committee. If you'd like to join us here at Night Call, just give us a buzz. It's area code 313-846-6601, and remember, you may call from anywhere collect. Now, please make that call station to station. Our night call number, area code 313-846-6601. And we invite you here on night call. Area code 313-846-6601. And Mrs. Griffiths, we have a caller now from KXXL, Miss Marjorie Brooks. Good evening, Miss Brooks. Speak right up. You're on night call, ma'am.
Good evening to Congresswoman Griffiths.
Good evening, Miss Brooks.
I was interested in the question that one man asked about the fear of women in entering the professions in politics. And I wanted to ask if you felt that at least part of this fear, I realize that you cannot isolate a single causal factor, but part of this fear might be due to a culturally instilled feeling of inferiority.
Yes, I think it is.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Yes, I think it is. I think you're quite right.
And I would like to ask if you are familiar with a book, Academic Women, by Jessie Bernard.
No, I don't believe I am.
It would be quite helpful to women if they would look, go to the library and look this book up.
I certainly will do it.
Because I would like to give you a few figures of women and men receiving the doctor's degree in 1958-59. In all fields, the intelligence test scores for women were 4.9 points higher than men. So it isn't the fact that women are not capable.
Oh, no.
They do not have these feelings of inferiority.
No. And in the federal government, they found, you know, that women expected to move up one grade, whereas men expected to move up two grades.
Yes.
And in every instance, they found that the woman was better trained in the job and had a better education than the man around her.
This is true.
Yes.
And this exists in the professions, too.
That is right.
The woman has to be exceptional in order to get a position that a man might get.
And Miss Brooks?
Yes.
If this is true...
You know, I'm having difficulty hearing y'all.
I'm sorry. If this is true, this idea that women... and that our society has a built-in bias against women, what can we do to change it?
Well, I think it is changing. But it will be a slow change. And, of course... education is the main factor of all change, I think. And we can't hope for a rapid change in this, but I think if more women would get interested in this and let people know of their interest, that there would be a speeding up of the process.
But don't you think a lot of women like the idea that they have this role of being sort of helpless and... they like to be hustling around the kitchen and raising the young'uns. I'm asking the idea that many women actually like the role of being sort of helpless creatures.
Oh, I'm quite sure.
And don't you think this is a...
We make generalities, you know, but when we get down to specifics, very often these general things don't apply. I'm quite sure that a number of women who like being helpless, just as there are a number of women who feel completely useless because they're not being developed or they're not developing themselves as an individual.
Do you think that men really want, and I'll direct the question to both ladies, do you think that men really want women to be equal?
Yes, I think they do.
That's the Congresswoman. Miss Brooks?
Yes. Well, there is some evidence that men prefer women who are more of an educational level than they are, more equal with their educational level.
Yes.
So this would tend to substantiate Congresswoman Griffith's statement.
Yes. And I think that men would be quite willing for women to draw, for instance, better salaries. But they do not like to say to them, look, you demand a better salary. I think, however, they'd be perfectly willing for them to get them.
Well, now, didn't this come up in the Civil Rights Bill, and you were given credit? And in fact, I read one release where they said you were the lady that put the sex in the Civil Rights Bill.
Well, at least I made the argument. And I found afterwards, to my surprise, not only did the women support me, but the men of the press came to me and said, oh, we think you were right. And they congratulated me.
Now, why would they come to you on this
situation? Well, I tried to figure it out myself. A good many of them had wives that worked, and they were perfectly willing for their wives to be paid. They knew they shouldn't have been paid.
In other words,
they felt they were being underpaid. So they were perfectly happy to have sex put into the civil rights law.
So that both sexes received the same amount of pay for the same type of work.
And why shouldn't women be paid?
Miss Brooks? What city are you calling from?
Bozeman, Montana.
Bozeman, Montana.
Oh, is it cold out there?
No, not yet. It's beautiful. I would like to throw in one little, I hope there are a lot of women listening, but I would like to throw in one other comment, if I might, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Down in Texas several years ago, a study was done on high school students. This was with regard to the effect on the students of, a working mother. You know, this is a question that's discussed and researched and about worn out. But it was found that enough students were used in this study that it could be used as a study in microcosm of the United States. And the students who were best adjusted were children of parents who were of a more equal educational level and students whose parents, and I did say plural, worked outside the home.
Yes, I know about that.
Now, this is sort of contrary to a lot of people have the idea that working parents, or particularly working mothers, are a detriment to child raising.
And in many instances, those children turn out the very best.
Miss Brooks, are you a teacher by any chance?
I didn't understand.
Are you a school teacher?
Yes, I am.
I thought you were an educated lady.
And a very good one, too.
I want to thank you for calling Night Call. Thank you for your comments. Miss Marjorie Brooks, a gal out in Montana, a listener on KXXL. And we have a listener in Denver, Colorado, a gentleman standing by, Mr. Clay Depew, and he's listening on KTLN. Good evening, Clay. Speak right up, sir. You're on Night Call.
Thank you, Russ. I'd like to talk to the Congresswoman along a little bit different line than what has been discussed, but I would like to ask her a little bit about the bill that was recently passed and that President Johnson recently signed concerning the rifle that Lee Harvey Oswald used. Congresswoman, how did you vote on this bill?
Is this the situation where they kept it for the federal government?
Right.
Well, I'm sure that I voted that they keep it for the federal government. I can't absolutely say offhand because I don't recall that it was a record vote, but I think that I voted that they keep it for the federal government.
Don't you think this has rather far-reaching aspects of federal confiscation?
Well, I think there are very few presidents assassinated.
I beg your pardon?
Very few presidents assassinated. And this was the only reason for it. It was the evidence on the assassination of a president. You know, one of our big errors in
At that time, the assassination of a president was not a federal crime.
That's right. This is one of the big this is one of the big mistakes that we have made in our history. It's a federal crime to kill an FBI agent, but we never made it a federal crime to kill the president, or a congressman, or a senator.
Clay, can I ask you, why did you ask that question?
Well, of course, being from Denver, John King, who lives here in Denver, and who I have talked to about this, of course, has been rather concerned about it. He paid Marina Oswald $10,000 as a down payment with another $30,000 agreed payment. And in the first place, the gun should have been in the custody of the Dallas Police Department, and instead was guarded by the federal, by the FBI. And any time they moved the gun, of course, they moved it with armed guards. And the courts took the position that the gun was worth $52.50, which was the assessed value of the two guns. Well, certainly, if one were to buy similar guns in a store, you might be able to buy them for $52.50. But as a collector's item, they were worth much more than that.
I see. Clay, I want to thank you for calling Night Call, and thank you for your comments.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Clay Depew from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLM. Gentlemen, I was concerned as to how the congresswoman voted on the statute of the regulation, I should say, of the gun that killed the president. You couldn't recall how you voted on that.
I can't recall when the bill came, that it was a record vote. But I am sure that if it were a record vote, or that if I voted orally, I would have voted for the federal government to have kept it.
Mrs. Griffith, we have 1 minute remaining.
All right.
In that minute, could you tell me what you think is the greatest contribution that women can make to politics?
Well, of course, I think the greatest contribution that women can make to politics is peace, their view of peace. The hands that have held the arms, that have thrown the rocks, that have fired the guns, have not been women's hands. And in my judgment, women who are the childbearers should have some right to sit at the policy tables in the world and have some vote on peace.
Do you feel that more women will come into the Congress within the next 10 years? And
I
their
hope
voice
so.
Will be heard?
I hope so. It's very difficult for them, I know, to make the effort to be there. But I hope that many of them will come.
Congresswoman Martha Griffiths, I want to thank you for being our guest on Night Call.
Thank you.
We've enjoyed your comments.
Our topic tonight on Night Call, can a woman be a politician? Tomorrow night, we continue our Night Call series on American women, and our topic, the Bible's challenge to today's women. Our guest will be Dr. Elizabeth Ochtemeyer. Until then, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station. As a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life. Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.